Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Many of you, most of you, have heard of or know who Helen Keller was, and her story is an inspirational story. But part of her story is that once it was discovered that she could communicate and that she could learn, her family brought in a preacher to teach her and to share with her about God, to give her instruction. And he recorded that she said a remarkable thing to him, because he was the first one to ever tell her about God. But when he did, she looked at him and she said, "I knew about God before you ever told me. I just didn't know his name." And God has a name. And he wants you to know his name. And when Moses, who had been reared and trained and educated in all of the arts and instruction that Egypt, the greatest nation on the earth at the time, had to offer, Moses had like a PhD, is what he would have probably had at that point, as a prince of Egypt. God used that. God then, after 40 years, took him out into the wilderness and gave him a different kind of training as a shepherd. And one day, as Moses walked through the wilderness, he looked and he saw a bush. And the bush was burning, but it wasn't burning up. And so Moses went over to investigate and discovered that it was the Lord. And Moses knew about the Lord. He knew him as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He knew him as the God who had called Abraham out of Ur and into the promised land. He knew him as the God who had miraculously given Abraham and Sarah in their old age a son named Isaac. He knew him as the God who had blessed and enriched and given Jacob 12 sons. He knew him as the God who was the God of his fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But when Moses met God in the burning bush, and God told him to go and deliver the people, Moses asked him, "Who am I supposed to say has sent me?" And God declared, "I am who I am." This, say this to the people of Israel: "I am has sent me." Not "I was," not "I will be," even though both of those things are true. But we know him as the great I am. In Hebrew, I am is Yahweh. In capital letters, YHWH. Hebrew doesn't have vowels, and so the people of God took some vowels from another name for God and added them to those consonants and came up with what we say as Yahweh. Depending on if you're a certain age, you may have grown up hearing that more as Jehovah, which is just an anglicized version of Yahweh. When you read that in your Bibles, you'll see that it is in all caps, L-O-R-D. And when you see that in your Bible, that's Yahweh. That is I am. That is God's personal name. And what we're going to see in this new series is that Jesus also claims that name. That Jesus is the great I am. I confess I feel a little like Moses this morning. I need to take my shoes off because this is holy ground. Your worship has encouraged me so much this morning. And God has encouraged me. When I opened my communion packet, I had a double portion. And I feel like this morning he's given me a double portion. And I think that it's connected to our sermon as well, because today as we see Jesus, and he says, I am the bread of life. That's a double portion. We're going to be in the Gospel of John in this series. And John wrote his gospel to show that Jesus of Nazareth was in fact the Son of God, the great I Am. John even wrote at the end of his gospel, but these, he says there could be many things that are written, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Do you believe, church, that Jesus is the Messiah? That's why John wrote. And God has fulfilled that purpose in you. That Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. See, John was a theologian, and he wrote theologically, beautifully, deeply to explain to us, to inspire us as just who Jesus was. But John also was very practical, and he was an evangelist, and he wrote so that you and people in every generation would believe in Jesus. And this idea of life, of eternal life, is significant in John's gospel. All of the, there's seven I Am statements that are generally recognized in John. And we're going to look at those seven over the next 7 weeks. But those seven statements, I Am statements, are all related to life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of life. He says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says that he is, I am the true vine, and it's only as we are connected to and abide in the vine that we experience a fruitful life. Life is connected to Jesus, and Jesus offers life. And that isn't just life in the future, and it isn't just life in the past. What Jesus offers us, what Jesus offers you, is life today. Life in this moment. Meaningful, rich life in the present. And if you are spiritually hungry, Jesus is the bread of life. And if you are walking in darkness, Jesus is the light of life. And if you fear death, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And if you are not sure that you can make it to heaven, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And if you feel like your life doesn't have purpose and meaning, then Jesus is the vine and offers a fruitful life. Jesus is the great I Am. He is all of this, and he is more. And so this morning, let's devour the bread of life. I'm going to be in John chapter 6. And usually there's a sign connected with the statement, some kind of sign connected with the I Am statement. And in this sign, Jesus has a crowd of 5,000 men plus all the women and children who were there. And they have been listening to his teaching and they're hungry. And so Jesus miraculously feeds those thousands of people. He takes a little boy who had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus blessed that food. And he passed it out, and it was multiplied to the point that the crowd ate to their full, and the apostles collected leftovers. Mark tells us that Jesus performed this miracle because he had compassion on this crowd. Compassion on people who were hungry. But as we read John's account, it's going to become clearer that Jesus not only cared about their physical hunger, but Jesus' compassion extended to their spiritual hunger. See, Jesus isn't satisfied with only feeding our stomachs. Jesus is satisfied when he feeds our soul. He's the bread of life. And so as Jesus fed the crowd, he sent the disciples into a boat. He told them to go ahead and go across the lake to go to Capernaum. Jesus went up into the hills to spend some time alone and to pray. And it grew dark. And into the dark of the night. And a storm came up. And Jesus walked out on the water. And he calmed the storm and he got in the boat and he went ahead to the other side. The next morning, the crowd who's still on the other side of the lake realizes that Jesus is nowhere to be found. And I guess probably the storm had driven a bunch of boats up to the shore because it says there were a lot of boats there. And so this crowd began to climb into these boats and to go to the other side to Capernaum so that they could find Jesus. And they did find Jesus. And he begins to teach them. And so in chapter 6, verse 26, some of these scriptures are going to be on the screen. I'm not necessarily going to read every scripture, but we're just going to tell this story. In verse 26, Jesus begins to teach them, and he does it by stating the obvious. He says, "You are looking for me because I fed you bread." And then in verse 27, he pivots the conversation, and he tells them that there is bread that won't perish. There is bread that will not spoil. There is bread that will last. And that he can give them that kind of bread. Now, their minds are on their stomachs. And I'm not being mean to them. Our minds are on our stomachs. Probably some of you right this moment, your mind is on your stomach. And you're thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch. That's a reality of walking and living in this world. And their minds were on their stomachs. And they really didn't want to hear a sermon about bread. They wanted bread. And then in verse 29, Jesus introduces the key to the whole conversation. And the key to the whole conversation, folks, is belief. Belief. Throughout this teaching, Jesus is going to emphasize the importance of believing in him. Believing in who he is, believing in why he came. And Jesus is going to make this parallel. We've got to be able to see this parallel as we walk through this. The idea of eating the bread of life is parallel to believing in Jesus. So when we read from now on about eating this bread, Jesus isn't talking about eating bread. Jesus is talking about believing in him. To eat is to believe, and to believe is to eat. Okay. But they don't get this at this point because they keep asking him questions. We can see that they don't get it. My favorite question they ask him for is, well, would you show us a sign? Now, these are folks who just experienced one of the most miraculous signs ever the day before. But yet the next day, they're already need another sign. Can anybody relate to that? In verse 31, they're still wanting bread. And so they bring up something from the past. They bring up when God fed the children of Israel for close to 40 years, every single day by bringing bread down on the ground. It was called manna, bread of heaven. They bring that up. I think they bring it up because they're wanting Jesus to feed them every day. That's what they're wanting. Jesus just gave them bread the day before, and they're thinking, Jesus, he could do this every single day. God did it in the wilderness every day. Moses brought down bread from heaven, they say, and they want Jesus to do the very same thing. Jesus, in verse 32, says some words you need to always pay attention to. This is just a little Bible study hint. Whenever you read that Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you," or some version thereof, you need to really pay attention. And Jesus says in verse 32, "Truly, truly, I say to you." The bread that came down from heaven then was manna, and it fed God's people. But there is a bread that is coming down from heaven, and it will feed the whole world. Now, they're really glad to hear that announcement. And they say, we want that bread. That's the bread that we want. Give us that bread every day. And then in verse 35, Jesus makes this great I am statement. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will not hunger. And whoever believes in me will not thirst. Now, they weren't ready for a sermon. Jesus, don't spiritualize this. Give us bread. But Jesus is not talking about bread anymore. He's talking about himself, and he's talking about believing in him. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's not what they're talking about. So it says that they begin to grumble. They begin to complain. They begin to murmur, which is exactly what the children of Israel did every day when they were receiving manna. People haven't changed much, have we? They're frustrated with Jesus, and they say, what are you talking about that you came down from heaven? We know that you are Joseph and Mary's son. We know that you came from Nazareth. You did not come down from heaven. And so in verse 47, Jesus repeats his truly, truly statement, and he says again, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me has eternal life. Jesus says manna was good bread, and it fed your fathers every day, but they still died. Jesus says, I am better bread. Because if you believe in me, you believe in who I am, you will live forever, and you will not die. Now again, when Jesus is talking about eating, he's talking about believing. And we do this too. Just think of ways that we make that parallel. We say things like, well, I'm going to have to take some time to digest what you just said. Or we say something like, well, that's food for thought. Or we say, you know, I really devoured that book. So what Jesus is doing isn't hard to get. We do that. And Jesus keeps using this metaphor of bread to talk about believing. And then in verses 52 through verses 58, Jesus talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And again, he's using the same metaphor. He's still talking about believing. And so if Jesus is the bread, to eat of Jesus is to believe in Jesus. Because just like you take bread inside of your body to sustain you physically, so you must take Jesus inside of your heart and your mind if you are going to be sustained on a daily basis spiritually. If you're going to have life, you got to have the bread of life. And so that's the meaning of this first I am statement. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Taste and eat of this bread and see if it isn't good. Believe in Jesus. Believe that he has been sent from the Father. Believe that he did come down from heaven. Believe that in him you can live forever and never die. And folks, that is an incredibly bold proclamation, an incredibly bold statement and claim for Jesus to make. And you already know that claim, and most of you already believe that claim, but I want you to just take a minute to digest the significance of what Jesus is saying. That this man Jesus of Nazareth, who lived 2,000 years ago, claimed then and is claiming today that he is the great I am. And even more than that, he is claiming, he did claim, he still claims that the only way to live forever, to have eternal life, is to eat of his bread, is to believe in who he is. And so in that one short sentence, I am the bread of life, Jesus makes three claims. First of all, he makes the claim that he is eternal. I am. I was, I will be, I am. Jesus is eternal. He also makes the claim that he is essential. He's the bread. He is the stuff that you need. He is what you need to sustain you. He is essential. And he also says he's enough. He's the bread of life. He's enough. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, the rest of John chapter 6 is about how people reacted to this statement. There's several groups there that we're going to look at. The important thing is, how are you reacting to this statement? How do you respond to the claim that Jesus makes that he is the bread of life? The first group to notice is this crowd. Now, this is a huge crowd. This is a crowd that just got fed the day before. And they really didn't want to hear more from Jesus. They wanted to see more from Jesus. They wanted some more bread. They didn't want a great I am. They wanted a great I will. What will you do for me, Jesus? What will you do for me today, Jesus? Give me more bread. Give me another sign. Give me what I want. And so I ask you this morning, are you in the crowd? Is that what you're doing when you're looking for Jesus? Is what you can get? And let me say to you, if you are, I'm still glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Don't quit looking for Jesus. Even as you grow to understand, it's not all about what you'll get. Don't quit looking for Jesus. Don't quit seeking out Jesus. Don't quit listening to Jesus. Keep on engaging with Jesus and what he has to say and what he is doing, and go deeper, a little bit more deeper this week with Jesus than just what you can get with him. So if you're in the crowd this morning, God bless you. Jesus has compassion on you, not just physically, but spiritually. So God bless you if you're in the crowd. There's another group here. It's the disciples. Now, this is more than just the 12. This is a group, possibly in the hundreds, who've been following Jesus, some of them for probably a couple of years at this point. These are the disciples. They've gone where Jesus has gone. They've watched what Jesus has done. They've listened to what he has said. They've been learning from him. And they're trying to understand who he is and what he's doing. They're serious about this. They're disciples. But you know what? This conversation just got too weird for them. He went too far with this one. Because Jesus, not only was it hard to hear, it was hard to understand. And verse 66 tells us that at this point, many of those disciples turned away. They turned back. They went home. They quit following Jesus. So I ask you this morning, are you among the disciples? You take Jesus very seriously. You're following him. You're trying to do what he says. And some of the things that Jesus says really are very difficult to hear and difficult to understand. He's calling you to obey some things that honestly you just don't want to obey. He's making some claims that it's hard for you to believe. And some of you may be thinking of walking away. And I want to beg you not to do that. If you're in the crowd, if you're among the disciples, don't walk away. Keep pressing into Jesus. Hang on, even though you honestly don't fully understand right now. Hang on, even though his call is hard for you right now. taste and see if he is good. And if his ways don't lead to life. So if you're a disciple, don't turn away. There's another group here. It's the 12. The chosen. Jesus chose them. See, the crowd, they're disillusioned with Jesus. The disciples are walking away from Jesus. And so Jesus looks at the 12 and he says, do you want to go too? And God bless Peter, who's always willing to speak up. And this time Peter gets it right. And he says, Lord, to whom would we go? You alone have the words that give eternal life. We believe them, and we know you are the Holy One of God. Peter got the bread. And I hope this morning that you are among the chosen. That's a Bible word. We don't use it very often, but it's a good Bible word. Those who believe in Jesus are chosen. I don't fully understand how that works, which comes first or second, but I believe it when the Bible says it. And I hope that most of you here this morning are among the chosen. I hope that all of you who are here this morning are among the chosen, that you believe in Jesus Christ, that you believe he is the bread of life, that you believe he is the great I am, and that you believe and trust and hope in him to the point that you know that when death comes, it will not be the end, because he promised that you would live forever. And he keeps his promises. So I would ask some of you to choose Jesus this morning, to believe in Jesus this morning, to make Peter's words your words. And we're going to sing pretty close to those words here in a few minutes. That there's nobody else to go to. There's nobody else to turn to. There's nobody else who offers this kind of bread. There's nobody else who can give you what Jesus can give you. But it's not always giving you what you want him to give you. There's nobody else who has the words of life. I hope that you will say this morning, like Peter, I believe that you are the Holy One of God. It'll change your life. It'll bring you salvation. And I hope that someone within the sound of my voice this morning, I hope there's someone who you have been praying for 30 days, who's going to hear these words and they're going to believe. And wouldn't it be nice if that's where John 6 ended? But John 6 does not end with Jesus commending the 12 because they stayed. John 6 ends with Jesus giving them a warning. And there may be some here this morning who relate to Judas. Because Jesus takes this opportunity to warn Judas and all those like him. Some of you may just be going along to go along. You didn't intend for that to happen, but that's what's happened. You're just going through the motions. Just saying the words, but not meaning them, not thinking about them. Excuse me, but this word Jesus said, it means that you've become a deceiver. You're deceiving yourself and you're deceiving other people. Don't let that story end this way for you this morning. Hear Jesus' warning this morning. Repent this morning. Draw near to God this morning. Reaffirm your belief in Jesus this morning. Reaffirm your decision to be his disciple and follow him and obey him this morning. Would you stand? Because Jesus stands this morning and he announces to this crowd that he is the bread of life. And that if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. And just as that crowd that day had to respond, I ask you to respond this morning.